this indictment of the northern kingdom by the Lord through the prophet Hosea appeals to the time that the northern kingdom broke away, Jeroboam broke away. Now the fault was Solomon's in a way, because he was laying down heavy taxes so that he could have a splendid building campaign. And they broke away. But that's not the king appointed by God. It's the son of David. And so once they're loose like that, they're also not going to be obeying God. And so they start to worship idols. So this whole northern kingdom drifts away. That's the work of Satan. 10 tribes broke away. 2 remained. This was the, can you see the drive toward ecumenism? You see, division is happy hunting ground for Satan. And so, goes on to, you know, talk about their idols. And Ephraim made many altars to expiate sin. This was not the will of God, that there be 2 kingdoms. We have to watch that. You know, we wouldn't start our own kingdom, but we can sort of isolate ourselves. I want to do things my way. In the gospel, we begin to see how deep the opposition is to Jesus. He drives out a demon, and the Pharisees say he drives them out by the prince of demons. How hard would you have to be to watch Jesus, an upright, compassionate man, by the authority of his mouth, drive out a demon and say he's doing that by demons? How hard would you have to be? It's a warning. You see? So, now, in the other Gospels right there, our Lord answers this charge. In Matthew, he answers it later. And he answers it very simply, right? Are all demons cast out by demons? How about your own people when they do it? What are they doing? In other words, how can you dare draw that conclusion from the fact that I liberated this man from demonic oppression? And then it talks about his ministry in this northern kingdom. He's up in the north right now in Galilee. And he went around to all the towns and villages teaching. It's an interesting observation. In Matthew, when our Lord gets out of the boat and sees the crowd, he began to heal them all. At the same time, Mark says, when he got out of the boat and saw the crowds there in the north, he taught them. And Luke says, when he got out of the boat, he healed them and taught them. In other words, Jesus knows we need 2 things. Truth. We don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And at the same time, we have our weaknesses, physical and moral, and we need healing. And so the Lord provides both. His heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. You break your contact with God, and you're going to cut yourself loose and drift, which is what's happening here, you see. So the people were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no leaders. They had no people bringing them to God and to the temple worship. Jesus was a northerner. Part of the kingdom, you know. But you see, the motive for preaching the gospel and for healing is given here, spragnitsome. He was moved. Now, our translation has pity. It's not really pity. See, as John Paul II points out so appositely. See, pity looks to the person or to the need. Oh, they're poor dears. Mercy looks to the person. And there's a difference. You see. Pity is a superiority complex. We'll organize this country so that health care is this way and the women are going to have all the abortions they want. And that's pity. I, the superior one, will arrange for these. Mercy looks to the person. And so, it's not a good translation when we understand what these English words mean, you see. He was moved with mercy. He was moved with compassion for them. Because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Now you see, whoever we are, we need leaders. And then the Lord appoints leaders, and woe to us if we don't lead. Yeah, leading is truth, but leading is compassion. Leading is care. And in a way, you see, the Christians in the world are meant to care for the world. Tell the world about Jesus. Heal their sick. Help their marriages. Console them when they're frightened. We are Christ in this world. And so, he sees all this, and what does our Lord say? Well, you just heard it, right? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. How many we got in here? 3, 5, 8, 10, 12, 15, 18, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29. We got 30 people in here. We got 30 apostles here. You see how the motive for preaching, for caring, is compassion. Why should we be here, hearing this word, feeding on the word of God, and our neighbors are all out there, don't know their right hand from their left. They don't even know what they're doing on the globe, and they're frightened to death, and all this financial up and down, and their whole life is money. Who's going to break through that? Who's going to care for them? See, the motive for preaching the gospel is compassion, not PR. See, compassion. And when there is compassion, then there is signs and wonders. Now you can do signs and wonders without even obeying the Lord, right? He says, on that day you're going to come to me and say, didn't we do this, didn't we do that, didn't we heal, didn't we raise the dead, didn't we drive out demons? And I'm going to say, I never heard of you. Because you weren't doing the will of my Father. Do the will of my Father, and the Father's compassion will overtake your heart. And then you will heal, and then you will preach.